50th anniversary of Arunachal Ashrama, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center in the USA, Part 2, continued from the November-December 2016 issue. On December 8, 1966, in New York City, for the purpose of incorporating a Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center, pursuant to Article 10 of the Religious Corporation Law, Arunachala Ashrama was incorporated in the state of New York. Article 18 of the bylaws reads, "The purpose of the center shall be to provide an educational and spiritual center for the study, pursuit, and practice of the spiritual heritage bequeathed to mankind by the great sage Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi. In the village of Sahuri near Begusarai, Bihar, Bhagavan experienced a therapeutic release from the cold corrugated cement and concrete of the city life in America, but his career ambitions and spiritual aspirations still remained unfulfilled. Bhagavat writes, "Back in the village, we were completely destitute in the true sense of the term. It was a very trying period for all of us, but the grace of Bhagavan kept surging inside of me and was the main sustenance of my life. The desire for the darshan of Arunachala Ramana at Sri Ramanashramam remained unquenched within me because I did not have money to travel. Then Bhagavan's nephew got inspired to take him to Arunachala. As soon as we caught the first glimpse of Sri Arunachala, I was swimming in the bliss of Bhagavan. After 19 years, Bhagavan had brought me to his lotus feet. The greatest dream of my life was fulfilled. On December 30, 1960, Friday morning, Ram Bahadur, his nephew, and I were in Sri Ramanashramam. It was then at Sri Ramanashramam that Arthur Osborne, a staunch devotee of Bhagavan, author of several profound books, who later founded the Mountain Path magazine, encouraged Bhagavat to start some regular meetings centered on the Maharishi when he returned to the USA. Bhagavat did not know at that time if he would return to America, but he did, taking up a position at the Indian Mission to the United Nations. Bhagavat was not keen to live in New York City. He accepted the assignment only because he came to the conclusion that Bhagavan must have had some purpose in his not finding employment elsewhere. And the purpose soon did reveal itself. On November 12, 1965, Bhagavat began weekly meetings in a room at the American Buddhist Society on the west side of Manhattan. Once a week, his wife Yogamayaji and son Bhaskar would carry the gramophone to play the Veda Parayana and bhajan records and Bhagavan's books to read out the teachings. But as Suri Nagama had mentioned, good endeavors encounter several obstacles. Bhagavat also experienced multiple roadblocks on his march to raise Bhagavan's banner of self-inquiry of who am I in the West. First of all, there was a scant interest, and the father, mother and son would often be the only attendees. Discouraged, Bhagavat consulted his wife and son about continuing their weekly routine. Fortunate he was, for both son and mother flatly refused to discontinue the meetings, which encouraged Bhagavat immensely. Slowly, a small group of seekers began to gather, and Arunachala Ashrama, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center, was legally incorporated as a religious charity on December 8, 1966. In 1967, Bhagavat resigned his job and dedicated himself fully to the ashram. A room was rented at 78 St. Mark's Place, and Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat, the name that he legally adopted, began his daily routine of traveling by subway from his Brooklyn apartment at 533 East 2nd Street to the Manhattan ashram. Bhakta Bhagavat, now 55 years old, unemployed and without funds to support his family, totally threw himself prostrate before his master, taking refuge fully in him. About this time, he wrote, "I wander about like a drunken person who does not care what the world thinks of him, as he is oblivious to the physical world in his inebriated state." Bhagavat was a prolific writer. He sometimes said, "Unless my mind sinks into the heart, I cannot write." And it would sink, and the writing went on and on. All his spare time would be occupied with worshipping at the altar of Hermes 3000, his typewriter, "with the fruits and flowers of my breath." He would often be seen sitting inwardly absorbed in front of the typewriter, or outwardly absorbed, typing thousands upon thousands of pages of what he called prayer manuscripts. In 1970, he began writing a piece titled "Bhagavan, Thou Art the Self." This concluded only after 3,500 pages. "From the top of my voice, I declare to the world that Thou art the very breath of me, and day and night I find myself immersed in the surging Ganga of the silent sage of the holy hill of the beacon light, Sri Arunachaleshwara Shiva Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi." Thus, he writes on the last page in 1973, only to begin another piece titled "Bhagavan, Thou Art My Breath." He would never read what he wrote unless asked to, and he would routinely make many carbon copies. When the Xerox machines came, he was the most diligent customer. Bhagavat would sometimes ask us to send copies of pages to this or that person, thus fulfilling in his own unique way the desire to share whatever grace and experience Ramana had blessed him with. Bhagavat was uniquely qualified to bring Bhagavan's message and personality to the West. First of all, like almost all who made their way to Bhagavan's Arunachala Ashrama, he had never had the opportunity to visit Sri Maharishi in his ashram before his Mahanirvana in 1950. In spite of this, he was fully immersed in the grace of Bhagavan and was a perfect example of a totally dedicated devotee, completely surrendered to his Lord and Master. Besides this, born in a remote village of Bihar in the land of Mithila, from whence Sita Rama's consort hailed, Bhagavat fully embodied the ancient cultural and spiritual heritage which has run through the veins of all Bhaktas in India down through the ages. He loved India, its land, its people, and especially its saints. On a personal note, I, the editor, can remember in the year 1972 going with him to see a documentary on the famed musician Ravi Shankar presented at the Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan. Bhagavat had not been back to India for 11 years at that time. The film began with panoramic views of Indian villages and landscapes. As soon as Bhagavat saw these, he burst into irrepressible tears. Not just tears, he was sobbing uncontrollably, and this lasted nearly throughout the whole film. He could never refer to India without prefacing it with Mother or Bharat Mata. In his heart, he was always only an Indian villager. Another point is that Bhagavat had a perfectly clear understanding of Bhagavan's teachings. He had made them his own and experienced the truth they embodied. He would tell us, "I can never say anything about Bhagavan's teachings unless I have experienced them." And he did. The exaltation of his experience is what drove him to share it with others. And this sharing with others was, in fact, the very basis or foundation of his inspiration to found Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Center here in the West. Continued in March-April issue.